because there's no noise, in fact, in the title. First, I thank the organizer for inviting me for this very wonderful conference. And what I'm going to show you is about theoretical results. It's still ongoing work, so I apologize for some inaccuracy that may occur on the presentation. If you help me to correct the typos, it would be wonderful. So this is the thing, and this is to go... Ah, good. So I will basically try to revisit the geometric assumption about the Poisson point-shot model. And the classic model that you know, here there's a beautiful animation, yes, that you assume that you have a map and that the wireless devices are distributed according to a Poisson distribution and according to a density measure, lambda. Most of the case, lambda is uniform. But here you can imagine that you have more chance to have a wireless device in the valleys than in the top of the mountain. So the density measure may not be uniform. And I mentioned the book of François Martek that I give all the results that can imagine from this model. So I will try to make a small extension about this model to visit less classic geometry. Oh, the blue one is an error. It should be red. We assume that you have an access point located in the center of the map or anywhere in the map at point Z, and there are emitters. Emitters, so we assume that they are simultaneous emitters. We are not going to look at the time, the chronology of the event. We assume that it is frozen, stationary frozen. We have an infinite number of emitters, or maybe finite, that transmit toward an access point, and the signal received from the emitter at I comes with energy S of ZI. Our objective is to estimate the average capacity of the system and to try to see how this capacity estimate will evolve when we will modify the geometric assumption. I guess animation. And we are going to address three estimators of capacity. We will use a kind of upper bound via a Shannon equivalent. It is not purely Shannon because it won't be an absolute upper bound, but I call it Shannon capacity for the reason I will explain. I will revisit again the flat outage capacity, which is a classic. When you have a signal over noise threshold fixed for all transmitters. And the extension, the flat outage capacity, the optimized outage capacity when each user optimizes its coding rate according to the statistic of its signal over noise ratio at the access point. This could be done by negotiation with the access point. I will go beyond the uniform Poisson model because I'm going to make a statement. Not so that strong, but for the introduction, I make it strong so that you will be awake, that the world is fractal, or self-similar scale. And here you can see this is a picture of a city, but it is not really a picture. This has been simulated by fractal generators. So I call that the return or the revenge of the cauliflowers. You know the cauliflowers is a vegetable which has a fractal structure. This is a plan of the talk. I'm not going to describe all the sections. That you can notice that there is, after the conclusion discussion, there is an optional section because when I try to review my talk, I oscillated between 20 minutes and 1 hour. So in case I make it short, we'll have anyhow some material to help to fill the remaining time. before the coffee break. Fractal time, yes. If you want to have a fractal time, you need to have a long void sequence. Here, I'm going to look at the capacity definition that I introduced very quickly in the introduction, and the physical model. There's nothing special here, it is the same, always the same story about the physical model, path respondent, fatigue, and all that. So the Shannon capacity model, it should be called, to be precise, a non-collaborative Shannon capacity, that you assume that each flow is a noise for the other flows. And then you use the Shannon capacity formula, assuming that the noise is Gaussian, so it's kind of approximation, classic approximation. And it is not the absolute upper bound, because you could imagine, I don't know if it will be, you can do better, you can imagine collaborative scheme where the user agree, now that they are able to exchange the information they want to send to the access point, so they agree at the same moment, for one slot, all decide to transmit the same packet. And therefore it will arrive with a kind of infinite signal to noise ratio, if you assume that the thermal noise is negligible, and therefore you may have a larger capacity than the non-collaborative Shannon capacity. But it's difficult to process. You need a side channel to change information, maybe very network coding or things like that. In many cases, I assume that N is negligible, or that the density is so large that the impact of the noise will be negligible. So for many derivations to make it short, I will assume N equals zero. But if you want to have a thermal noise, just assume that the result I will show you will be obtained synthetically when the density of user increases. So this capacity has this definition. It's complicated. Every time I show this to people, and you can really say something about this. You know that you can say something about this. The classic flat outage capacity assumes that all packets are coded with the same rate, and which correspond to a signal to noise ratio threshold K. And of course, we have the limit, Shannon limit for the coding rate and the signal scenario threshold K, which is this. And in the remaining of the talk, I will assume that I have equality. And in this case, the capacity will be the probability that your packet is captured by the access point multiplied by the coding rate. And this is basically how Wi-Fi is working. In the new generation wireless 4G, I mean it's an advertisement but 4G, the transmitters optimize its coding rate according to a SNI statistic. It tried to figure out what is the value of K which will optimize this quantity. We assume equality. It is clear that this is just a theoretical assumption. In the real life, the packet has finite length, therefore the number of coding rate is finite. So this will show what will be when the size of the packet is infinite, and when the computing power of the base station is infinite. Exactly, and then the physical assumption. Here, I don't. You understand why I don't assert any near field effect. I assume, for example, that the density is not big enough that there will be somebody so close to the base station that he will experience the near field effect. We assume that the fading are ID. The path attenuation is greater than 2. We play with this. It can be greater than something else, smaller than something else. We assume that the fading doesn't change during packet transmission because, well, I say we take a frozen situation. And so the distinction between fast and slow fading won't be as pertinent. And now I'm going to review. This is part of the review of the survey part. I will what happens when the network map is infinite, uniform, and we'll review something which is called the Dirac paradox. Yes, it looks strange, but you will understand very quickly. So here, you look in general to the accumulated energy we receive, detected by the base station, which is the thermal noise that we make very quickly equal to zero, and the sum of all the signal coming from the transmitter. And it is well known that we can express the Laplace transform of the distribution of the signal level received at the base station, and it has a formula like that, where the function f theta is this integral, which has a simple expression because it's a gamma function. Therefore, what is interesting here is the fact that f theta is just theta to some power gamma, and all the remaining are constant. In the case of the relay fading, you have this quantity for the estimation of the relay fading. Okay, excellent. The known result, the Shannon capacity is the non-correlative Shannon capacity. We have this result that is identical to the ratio 1 over gamma over log 2. The log 2 is artificial, it comes from the log of base 2 in the Shannon formula. The flat outage capacity, it looks like the Shannon capacity, but with this correcting term. This is, of course, the signal, the Shannon expression for the capacity with the signal with the ratio, interference ratio. And there is this, which is funny. I think like this, why the sinus, but it's already discussed several times in this conference. I'm not going to play with this. And of the fact that if you are really demanding a high ratio, high signal, interference signal ratio, of course the capacity will decrease. And what you immediately notice is when gamma, basically when the path exponent tends to 2, this doesn't tend to 0, it tends to 1. And before, as we'll see, since on the infinite plan the accumulation of energy will tend to be equal to infinity, therefore there is a drop here. There is a, I call this a horizontal drop, it is a horizontal sharp drop, because when this tension factor comes below 2, the capacity drop before it is non-zero, after it is zero. Here, since this equal to zero when gamma tends to 1, you have a horizontal smooth drop, the capacity vanish. The optimized outage capacity, I think it is not known, so it's one of the results I wanted to show you, and we'll see whether or not it has a sharp or smooth horizon drop. Ah, the Dirac paradox, you know, I don't know if you know the Dirac paradox. The Dirac paradox is when alpha tends to 2 in the plan, the energy tends to infinity. Therefore, the capacity will be zero when alpha is smaller than 2. Now imagine that you are not on the plan, you are on space. Therefore, the quantity of energy that will be received from a uniform density of transmitter in space will be infinite if alpha is smaller than 3. Problem, in physics, alpha equals 2. Therefore, during the night, we should be grilled if we walk outside. So this is a paradox. But here, what is it, we'll come back later to this paradox. Here you can see that when S lambda tends to infinity, therefore you can make this approximation, and then it tends 1 over log 2. And you can also add the noise. In this case, you will have the ratio between... you will have nothing, because it will still be still the same. If the noise is finite. So if you generalize, you take a geometry which is, instead of plan, you take the cubic geometry, R3 or R2D. Or it's difficult to imagine R2D. I can imagine R2-4 if you introduce the frequency plans, but in this case the attenuation factor is not very pertinent. But anyhow, it is just math, so you can do what you want with math. Therefore, you have the same formula. The only difference is, instead of pi, you have pi, which is the volume of the hypersphere. There's nothing. Everything is the same after. And it's very funny. This should be said between us, because this formula I like it, because it collects physics, geometry, and information theory. Of course, if you meet a physicist and you tell him that basically the impact in the formula is a path exponent, he will tell you, I think physics is more complicated than this. If you see a information mathematician, you say that impact is log of 2, he will say, okay, you are making fun of our science of geometry. I'm talking about geometry. Now, the outage capacity in uniform maps is still a survey. You take the Rayleigh fading. It is known that I call PR of K is a probability that a packet transmitted at distance R will be received with a signal or noise ratio threshold of K. It has this simple expression with the Rayleigh fading, and so we don't have to carry complicated formula, expansion, things like that. And exercise proved that the outage flat outage capacity, which has this expression, is equal to this, and how you will get this funny sinus ratio. Hint, it comes from the gamma layer identity. This is exercise, but don't do it because we don't have time. We can do it very quickly, but I won't have time to understand it. What happens if you have a general fading? This, you have this expression, but it's a little more complicated because you don't have this identity with the Rayleigh fading. You have to go through the Laplace-Tilge transform, which change integral of dimension D into integral of dimension 1, because we consider only one parameter or one dimension, which is the energy level. And this, if you bend the integral path around the real axis, you arrive to this formula with the finite map uniform Poisson shot model. Therefore, you recognize here the sinus pi gamma. Therefore, the sinus pi gamma should come from the particularity that the Rayleigh fading was giving gamma Maclaurin formula constant. In fact, it is something which is independent of the fading. It is the same. The optimized capacity RFIDing very quickly because it has absolutely no interest at all. It's just a local optimization. You have to find the function of the threshold, the function of the distance to the base station. And you have to make a derivative. You have a closed formula which is complicated with that. And with classic numerical analysis, you show that the ratio between the optimized outage capacity and the Shannon capacity tends to 1 over E. Therefore, we have a horizontal sharp drop. So we, what we didn't have with a flat capacity, we have with optimized capacity, with a loss with of order 1 over E. Now there is a theorem the energy filter theorem, the name is not happy, is a way to find the Shannon capacity very quickly without carrying complicated formula with theta Laplace transform. The point is the fact that when you look at this formula, basically, you have to make the comparison between the signal which we receive on the point, on the access point when there is no transmitter here, and the energy we receive when there is a transmitter. Exactly the same. So here, if you look at this, it is as if you look at the logarithm, the expectation of the logarithm of the energy when there is a transmitter, and you add the transmitter to the set of transmitter, a transmitter at location X, and where you don't have a transmitter at location X. And this is differential form, in fact. It is plus or without. This is a differential form, and if you look it carefully, then this is nothing else than the derivative according to lambda of the expectation of the logarithm of the energy you receive. If the energy is computed in calories or in joules, it doesn't impact because the derivative will remove this unit. Therefore, it is consistent. And call it energy field theorem because basically this is a derivative. It is the simplest form when you have the uniform map, but it works also in any kind of distribution of transmitters. And even you can do something which is funny, you can derive this expression not according to scalar, but according to measure. And if you derive this expression according to the direct measure on X, you get the capacity of node X. So it's independent of fading noise. You can imagine the fading is deterministic. In this case, you have to be careful on how it is ring invariant. If you consider you are closer to the base station, you have the same distribution of shadowing, for example. So it is the purpose of this is simplify a lot the assumption. Here, now you can derive the Shannon capacity proof with IID fading. Assume that you have this population of transmitters, and now you want to contract the space by factor A, small factor, and this is equivalent to increase energy. If they are closer, it is equivalent that the energy will be larger on the base station. This is beautiful. Therefore, it is equivalent as if the energy is increased by factor A to minus alpha. And this is also equivalent, because it contract, to a density increase by a factor, of course, 1 over d, because the density, the distance are decreased by this factor, because you have dimension d. Therefore, the random variable that gives you the energy received when you do this contraction is as you multiply the energy level without the contraction by this factor. Therefore, since A is completely arbitrary, I can compare with S of 1, S of lambda will have this identity with comparison S of 1. And here it is interesting, S of 1 may be very complicated, I don't know what it is, but when I will derive it according to lambda, it will disappear and I will get this expression. So this, we are all very happy because it simplifies the proof. The Shannon capacity, if you are not happy with that, because basically it's a shortcut. For a presentation, it is a shortcut. But if you want to have more insight, you have a hackable formula via Mellin transform. You can basically show that the Shannon capacity is identical to this, and this doesn't depend on the geometry. Here in the case, you want to introduce the noise. And now fractal geometries. Some minutes, I'm going to attack the real heart of the presentation. I think for the tactical organization of the French army, we will wait later. So we are going to revisit. So, as I say, the uniform Poisson model are not always realistic. The world fractal, and this is a picture generated by random generator. Here, you see something funny, the fractal maps, they are used a lot in games when you have a tactical operation on the virtual land, and then this is completely random. It has been generated by, and plus really like a real one, but I challenge you to find a place on Earth which is like that. One of the very famous fractal set is the Sierpinski triangle. Sierpinski triangle, you take a triangle, you make a void, you carve a void in the middle, and then you do repeat recursively, and you can make a Poisson shot on this. I just show this only at the level 3 because I don't have enough room. The fractal dimension, this is something that I will show later. This is, in this case, the logarithm of 3 over logarithm of 2. We'll see why. And it's smaller than 2. The fractal dimension is smaller than the dimension of the embedding space. What we are interesting, what happened if can we imagine that since the geometry is changing, is it possible to imagine that the Shannon capacity will be the same as with the uniform map, but when we replace the dimension by the fractal dimension? It would be nice. The reason is clear. Since DF is smaller than big D, I expect it to be larger than the Shannon capacity uniform map. And the answer is yes. Yes, not completely full yes, half yes, because you will get perturbation of this formula. This formula was independent of the density, and then you will have a perturbation of the formula with a small periodic fluctuation of mean zero with the logarithm of the density. It is not the first time that you can find from the fractal dimension a consequence in the physical world. That, for example, Ramal and Toulouse in 1983 have shown that the probability of return to origin of a random walk in the Sierpinski triangle, or the family of fractal set called Sierpinski gasket, they are not always triangle, is this factor with fractal dimension. And in general, the random walk in D lattice. In D lattice, in dimension D, you have n to d over 2, the probability of return. It's the asymptotic expansion. There are other dimensions, fractals, which is a spectral dimension. To see the exponent of the power law, the state density. Don't ask me what it is, I don't know. And it's used in percolation. So the percolation in the Sierpinski triangle satisfies the spectral dimension. It's not the same as this one, but here we focus on this dimension. And when the set is uniform, all these dimensions are the same. When they are different, when the set is fractal. Here, the fractal, just to remind what is a fractal set, you take the Sierpinski triangle, divide the unit length by 2, therefore the structure is divided by 3. There are 3 parts and you only focus on one part. And therefore, if you take the shrink factor, you put at the power of dF, it should give you the fraction of the set you recover. And the connection with the classic dimension, if you do that with a square, you divide by 2, you will get 1 over 2 to d, 1 over 4, therefore t equals 2. This is the definition of the Hausdorff dimension, is the fact that if you make a contraction of the set, you will find out that the set is the resilient set will be a fraction of the original set, which will not be something we obtain by the contraction of a sphere or a cube. So this is the definition of the fractal dimension. That we are going for this talk to discuss the contour map. A contour map is like a Sierpinski triangle. You have void and you recursively add void. But there are other definitions of fractal map. And here, for example, the fractal dimension of the contour map, when you divide the contraction by factor A, you should have this property, this entity, to find out the fractal dimension. You assume that the number of squares is L squared. And this is a Poisson shot on the contour map. It's difficult to, you can see the void, but it's more difficult to find the void in here and here, and because the density is not large enough. If you have a very large density, you will be able to see the void up to level 2, 3. So the fractal map is full of void. The support measure is defined recursively. Basically, here you assume that the support measure is equal to itself via a contraction. Recursive contraction. If you want to make a Poisson shot on quantum map, we take a Poisson shot on the uniform square, or uniform, you can assume that quantum map is infinite, on R2, and you map with this function, which basically, if the first bit is 0, you go, first bit is 1, you go on the right, the second bit is 1, you go on the sub left, and so forth. You can have, which is useless, you can assume that you are adding isometry. This is a funny contour map.
So you transport the points. Yes. The initial points from the, so you have a conservation of the total number of points, right?
Yes, in this case, since it is infinite, but in this case, yes, you can do a mapping between a uniform Poisson shot and a fractal Poisson shot. So one example of on how to make a Poisson shot, this is the way used for the simulations. Here, the capacity in quantum maps. I'm sorry, I should have put I should stretch the map of Texas larger, because it's a big state, but you can see that it's the density of population of Texas. So it's an illustration that it looks like a fractal. Here it's another fractal set by Mandelbrot, and you see, they are not the same, of course, but there are some similarities. Here, very quickly, we spend a lot of time by using the field energy field theorems. This is how to prove our identity. Very quickly, I do a contraction by factor A. Here, what is important, so I use the same argument with the uniform map, but here there's a huge difference. The factor A is not arbitrary. So I will not able to make the identity between the the energy with density lambda, the energy with density 1, because they may not coincide by factor A. But it's still the same argument. I contract by factor A. Up. The energy increases at this factor, no change. The density increases, in this case, by 4. Because we took a fourth of the structure. So we put all the transmitter, instead of being on the square, it's not on the fourth of the structure. So I put, therefore I have this identity. But since A is not arbitrary, the only thing I can say that I have this identity, and here it is a periodic function. But here I have this complicated thing. When I will do the derivation, I will obtain this factor that lacks with the uniform, but this will not disappear because it's not a constant. So, but it will be a periodic function of mean zero. Therefore, I have proved the assertion I said in the beginning that this is alpha over gamma over df and over log 2 somewhere, but log 2 are playing somewhere. So I have, this is a proof, a very quick proof, and there is here a periodic. So you will ask me, so you won't ask me because I won't have time to answer. What is the size of the oscillations? They are small, and I'm not going to prove you. I will say it is due to the no free Lorentz conjecture, because if you have a large oscillation, it will mean that for just adjusting the density, you will increase, have a large increase of the capacity. You will have a very low capacity when you are not lucky, but if you are lucky, if you add user, you have a large increase of capacity. Here, I assume that there is no free lunch, therefore, actually, if you use a cable formula, you will see that in some, when there is no fading, that the amplitude is order 10 minus 3. Therefore, this is why when you do simulation, you don't see the difference. Here, in the case, where the exponent was in the corner here. Here, assume that the access point is anywhere, and you want to know in the fractal map, want to know what is the expectation given that the access point has a random location of the Shannon capacity. You use the same contraction argument, there is no nothing, and you get the same result with a difference that the periodic function would be different. I can derive bounds, but they are not tight, and the simulation shows that simulations are not proof that the same amplitude are small. Before, for the amplitude with the case of the access point in the corner, it was easy to prove that the gamma function and the gamma function were very small. Here it's difficult because the bounds are not tight. The philosophical consequence. One consequence, the fractal Poisson-Schott model never converges towards the uniform Poisson-Schott model, even if the fading is not relay but something completely crazy with a large variance, and the variance is turning to infinity, you will never have convergence of the Poisson-Schott model to the uniform Poisson-Schott model. Consequence of the fact that you increase significantly the capacity in theory, so that's good. As a fractal dark night. As a fractal dark night, here basically you have to, in the contour map on any fractal set, what you see is the fact that the density of distance towards the access point or any point in the fractal map has a power law distribution. And this power law distribution has a consequence that your horizon is at alpha equal the fractal dimension. This is periodic function. And this is a periodic function for the quantum map I showed before. So there are oscillations. And the oscillation, in fact, is much larger than the oscillation of the capacity, because after there's a convolution of the gamma function. And here, the one potential answer of the fractal dark night is the fact that the universe, yes, I cannot finish a talk without talking about the universe, is more or less fractal. All these small, teeny points are galaxies, which is, of course, a simulation. And this is cluster of galaxies, and they are void between this cluster and the void at larger and larger, and this corresponds to a fractal set-similar set. Look at this, this is a fractal, a real fractal set, and it has some similitude. And of course there is a sharp horizon drop, we see that, and it's easy to prove. Here, very quickly, because it is not very interesting, Shannon capacity was the theoretical problem that happened with real flat outage capacity. The results are with Rayleigh fading. Basically, you prove with a complicated analysis that I'm not going to describe because it's really too late, and even me, I don't remember how it works. After 40 minutes. This quantity is periodic in K and lambda, and what is interesting is the order of all lambda f minus 1, lambda f being the ratio between the dimension and the attention factor. So you have a smooth horizon drop, should hold with general fading. The optimized outage capacity, we prove that it is periodic in lambda, we have classic contraction argument. We prove, but it is very hard, so I'm not going to describe, very hard in terms of technical epsilon that you have to play with, but there is nothing really innovative in this, that we still have the property that when you are going close to the horizon, you have still the ratio between Shannon and optimized outage capacity of 1 over E. So a sharp horizon drop, like with a uniform Poisson. The conclusion, just repetition what I said, is just that to outline the Shannon capacity optimized have sharp horizon drop, so it's interesting in terms of application, because frequently you can assume that the path exponent tend to be close to 2 to the vacuum value. The capacity of fractal map are much larger than the uniform map. The capacity estimate a small periodic oscillation. One perspective is generalization to self-similar geometry or to more complicated fractal set defined by attractor, things like that. And I think this is all. Sorry to have
thank you. The base stations are distributed according to this fractal process, right?
Yes, the base stations should be part of the fractal set.
And the users also?
The user also. If you put the fractal set to the middle of a void, for example, all these properties vanish because you got the classic uniform. It is important that the fractal set belongs to the fractal, the base station belongs to the fractal set.
And the fact that the randomness doesn't eventually wash this all out and make it uniform, is that due to a particular path loss assumption, or is it? You said that really fading and these kind of things don't. So if you have if you lay the base stations out in a lattice, and then you now add fading factors, eventually the performance will look like the case of a Poisson process, right? So in your fractal case, the reason adding fading doesn't eventually make this look like a uniform Poisson is that because of the specific path loss model you use?
I don't know very well the impact of the path loss model, but the result we get comes from the fact that the distribution of distance to the access point is a power law with oscillation. And this is the main cause of the difference between the uniform model, where the distribution is in power law with R square, where it is R to DF, the fractal dimension in the fractal set. And the fadding has no impact on this, because you have always this this periodic factor with a mean which is exactly a constant, is different from the constant you have with a uniform model. That is why I made this claim that they never convert.
I was wondering about geometric structures like the border or whatever things of the stack that people would look at in cellular. So can you introduce this idea from there?
And in fact, thank you, because it was on perspective. I forgot to mention one perspective: what happens if you have multiple access points, and how it will impact how the interference will be across the cell. This would be an interesting follow-up. I don't know. It's going to be complicated.
Because it seems quite practical, since the population density has this fractal structure, studies in Finland also, fractals for.
Why you mention Finland?
Not on purpose. But it seems that actually you would have a structure of perhaps access points, which would also be perhaps another Poisson thing. And you might be interested in having a scheme of association, which would be like, again, some shortest distance, something like that. And so the scaling invariant slope, you might think of designing, I mean, mental structures where you would see something.
We expect that the Voronoi will be fractal, because the place where there are a lot of void, the void are large, you will have larger cells.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to be careful of the problem of noise, the problem of...
Okay,
forget the noise. In this case, you will have... I think it's a conjecture that you can have the same analysis as before, but the Voronoi cell, we have a distribution of size which correspond to a fractal, fractal set.
Last question.
I guess the assumption that there's a common alpha at all scales seems like it might be also rethinking, because, you know, if the placement is induced by, say, the buildings, as you suggested in your picture, then, you know, you sort of have inside building, outside building, and so the propagation might differ where you are in the set.
In fact, not so much if you assume that your position in the building is give you perturbation of the pure path exponent, which is a fadding, that you include the shadowing as a fadding. As I said, the shadowing, fadding, in this case, it is we are not going to make difference between fast fadding and slow fadding. You can assume that the energy field theorem holds even if the fadding is deterministic. The only problem to adapt to the fractal context is that you must consider the fadding is a ring invariant, and means that the proportion of low fadding or high fadding remains the same on a ring. That's easy in uniform model, but in a fractal, you may have only one point of the fractal set on one ring. So you have to make some assumption that the question of ring is some crown, and then you have some invariant of the fadding. But normally, the impact of the position should be in the fadding. But it's difficult to figure out if you will get after pure path estimate with IID fadding
or you will have something more complicated. That's it, don't open.
Okay, let's thank Philip again. And we'll reconvene at 11.